No, I don't do aim point. Like, even if you don't do the aim point, I think just having that consistent routine is big. Like, personally, I just try not to overthink it. Like, if I was shooting a free throw, like, it's going to be like two dribbles, a spin, and a shot. Like, I'm not going to stand there for a while and like stiffen up. It's kind of the same thing with putting. I like just pick my speed, pick my line, and then like I don't even take a practice swing. I just kind of hit the ball. Like, I don't give myself any time to tense up at all.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rippin', rippin'.
All right, Mike, or Mikey T Times, maybe is what I need to call you. Welcome to MGP. Took us a while to get this scheduled, but we finally got it on the calendar. So I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, sorry it took so long, and I appreciate you having me on, and I'm excited to talk a little golf and whatever else there may be. So
yeah, wherever it brings us. We were going to try and do it at Waste Management, and I quickly realized there's like no chance anybody has any time during that week down in AZ. Like, the traffic's crazy, the tournament's crazy. I was probably a little over my skis trying to get something scheduled during that time. So, you know, this is second best.
Yeah, that weekend's a disaster. Like, it's super fun like the first couple times, and then like once you live here, it's like a little exhausting.
Yeah, so you moved from Boston, and are you full time in Arizona now, or do you go back and forth?
I moved from Boston. I'm in Arizona. I've been here since 2020, and I'm trying to do. I'm an aspiring kind of snowbird, trying to do the golf season here, golf season back in Boston, take advantage of like the good weather in both areas.
Yeah, maybe tell the folks a little intro about yourself, and then I got a bunch of questions for you. But why don't you tell our listeners and audience a little bit about Mr. Mikey T Times?
Sure. Yeah, Mikey T Times on Instagram, YouTube, now TikTok. Haven't been doing it for too long, probably 6 months or so, and just a golf addict, student of the game. I need more hobbies. It's probably like my only one. And just learning golf, playing golf, teaching golf. I'd post a lot of kind of instructional content. Just if it helps one person, then mission accomplished. It's just a passion of mine. I think it's super fulfilling to help people play better. And I've gotten a lot of positive feedback on helping people's games, and that's just super fulfilling to me. So I like to help people play better.
Yeah. Did you grow up playing the game? Did you play in college or anything, or what's kind of your background with it? Or you just kind of become addicted?
I was a baseball player, kind of up until high school, and then when you're probably 5 feet, 110 pounds, and in high school, you kind of have warning track power and you switch to golf. So I kind of started in high school, played just kind of like on the freshman team, and then really took like a step forward going into my sophomore year. I was playing a lot, just got the golf bug and kind of took it from beginner to scratch pretty quickly. And then just played high school, good, solid high school player, and just kind of always had that kind of love hate with it, and was frustrated and just kind of lost interest in golf kind of going into college, and decided not to play in college. Kind of wish I did. I would have had less student loans, and my game would probably be in a better spot than it is now. But I went to Penn State, studied finance, and now I'm trying to just do kind of more golf full time.
Yeah, so when you say you're doing golf full-time, are you like an instructional pro too, or what's, are you trying to get into this social media fad and become like a YouTube golfer like all these guys and gals at the Creator Classic?
I mean, I've only been doing it for like 6 months, and like I do like watching the YouTube golf, and I'm like, why can't I do this? Like, I play just as much golf as they do. Like, I'm doing it every day. I might as well bring a camera with me and try to film something productive here and there. Yeah, I do kind of instructional stuff. I do teaching, just content creation. I have a lot of respect for people who do content creation. I've been doing it for 6 months and it's probably taken years off my life. It's exhausting. It's a grind. It's a full-time job for real. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly like what path it's going to take me. I just take it one day at a time and try to help as many people as I can.
Yeah. So aside from the, call it the content stuff, clearly you're out there playing every single day or practicing every single day. What are the goals that you're trying to, I guess, achieve and fulfill? Obviously down in Arizona, they got like a great amateur circuit. There's a ton of guys and gals down there that play, you know, professionally as well. So like, I guess, where are you at with your game and what are you working on, or what are you trying to get to? Is there a specific goal that you have in mind?
I don't know. I never really had like aspirations to play competitively growing up. It was kind of more so like an escape from whatever, like work, school, just kind of like a happy place kind of thing. And like I was kind of doing the whole, you know, corporate job, and every day after work, like I'd rush the golf course and practice just because I love doing that. And now I'm like being out here and practicing all the time and filming content. Like I've met a lot of, you know, good players, people that are trying to go pro, and it's definitely, you know, it's definitely humbling, but like it's great motivation to kind of practice and try to take your game forward. I would like to start doing tournaments here and there, just like you never really know kind of where your game's at unless you're kind of put under pressure. And that's something I haven't really felt with just from not really playing competitive golf much. So I'm around a kind of +3, +4 range. So like I think my good golf is good enough to play on like against people that are pro and whatever, but like my bad golf is just like not as good as their bad golf. And that's kind of the difference.
Yeah. Well, so, I'm not to your level. That's where I want to get this year, is get to a +3. So I'm right around a scratch. +1 is kind of where I hang out at. You know, when I go on those heaters in the summer, I can get to around a +2, and then I kind of revert back to 0 or +1. But I'm curious to know, so like at this level for you, what is bad golf? Like, do you still shoot in the, call it the low 80s, or what is like a bad round of golf for you when it all goes off the rails?
You just stop even score and play a couple balls. And
yeah. Like it's that bad.
Working on your game a little bit. I don't know. I think I have like a more of like a kind of athlete, like baseball player. Like I'm definitely kind of raw in terms of golf. I think my golf like IQ is pretty good. But like I just haven't played a lot of competitive rounds where it's like, I don't know, knowing what shot to hit here and there. So I'm anywhere, like I can shoot in the mid-60s, I can shoot in the 80s, kind of a wide range, but for the most part, I'm kind of around the low 70s.
All right, so I want to ask then, getting to a +3 or a +4, you know, I always tell people it's a lot easier to go from like a 10 to a 5. And then when you get down from like a 5 to a 0, like that's way more difficult than it is from a 10 to a 5. And then I've noticed, obviously, you know, once you get below a 0 into a plus, I mean, you're really talking like consistent golf and low scores to get there. What do you think you can attribute to getting to a +3? Was it, you know, the short game and putting coming to the next level? Was it, you know, your ball striking, keeping the ball in play? I mean, naturally, it's a mixture of all things, but what do you think gets you, you know, from the +1s to the +2s and +3s?
I think like just the ball striking with the irons has definitely been a strength of mine, like kind of my whole life. But I think more so is just keeping a driver like length off the tee and just keeping the ball in play. Like I'll play a lot better if I'm driving it well. If you can just have like wedges into every green, like it's the game's a lot easier, and like it's more just like managing your misses. Like I'm not like the straightest player, but I can eliminate one side of the course whenever I want. Just staying out of trouble, like not short-siding yourself, It's basically just how you manage your misses. Like, we're all going to miss hit shots. Like, I'm not going to hit everything perfect all around. It's just like, all right, I can't miss this shot long left, so I'm going to hit everything, kind of bail out to the right.
Yeah. Do you subscribe to like Decade or anything like that when you're out there on the course? Or like you talked about your IQ, to navigate around a golf course, it's not like the easiest thing. I would just say a baseball player, you know, knows how to do, right? You kind of learn that over time. Do you subscribe or use any type of methodology, or it's just you've figured it out as a athlete and player of the game over the years?
I don't subscribe to it, but I've definitely listened to that and like a kind of know what they're talking about. It's more, yeah, I think it's just more just being out there, like what you're comfortable with. Like if I know driver brings in more trouble, I'm going to kind of lay up with like 3 wood, or I'm going to play towards a better angle. I'm going to play away from the hazards. And like I've been playing with a lot of good golfers that are like aspiring pros, and it's more like they just don't screw up as much. Like they're always hitting it, they're always missing it in the right spot. They're always like, even they can kind of spray it around and still shoot really well because they're missing in the right spot.
Yeah, and they probably putt and chip the lights out. That's what I've noticed from really good golfers. Like, at least for me as a, you know, plus one, I probably lack the getting up and down, because naturally you're not going to hit every green in regulation, right? Like if you hit every green in regulation, yeah, I think anybody's going to shoot a decent score. But I have noticed like that short game and the kind of putting inside of, you know, call it 10 to 12 feet seems to be a trend amongst the really good elite players.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just dispersion and percentages. Like you just, for me, I think the biggest thing that's, I had the yips for like the last 2 years with my chipping, and just getting out of that, I think the biggest thing that helped me with chipping is just to get one like singular stock shot that you can play from anywhere inside of like 80 yards. And for me, that's a 60 degree. I use a 60 degree with every shot just to keep it as consistent as possible. Like I've heard a lot of people do like, all right, bump and run here, use a 50. But for me, that just kind of got too inconsistent. Like it was too kind of unpredictable switching wedges all the time. So like I tried to just keep everything the same with same club, same stock shot. And like I'd hit that probably 90% of the time inside 80 yards.
Yeah, I'm trying to work on it right now. Like my biggest weakness I identified when I looked at my stats last year was it was pitch shots between 30 and 80 yards. Like I would feel like I'm hitting a 40 yard shot and it ends up being 60 yards, right? It's either over the green dead or, you know, vice versa. I think I'm hitting a 60 yard shot and it goes 40 yards and I'm short of the green, chipping again. Now I feel like I'm too chipping and, you know, all that type of stuff that leads to bad, bad scores. So like, how do you, like getting into some of the drills and the content that you put out there, how do you, I guess, train if you're using one club for pretty much everything inside of 80 yards, do you use kind of the clock system when it comes to your distance control, or how do you kind of train that out? Or are you a total feel player like a Dustin Johnson?
I've tried the clock system. Like I've tried everything. And the biggest thing that helps me control distance is just control the flight. If I can just kind of knock everything down and kind of one hop and stop it, it's a little bit more kind of predictable for me than trying to worry about how far I'm taking my hands up. So I'm definitely more feel. And I think another thing that helps me is I'm trying to, I guess, like regulate distance by choking down and also like the distance between my feet and my stance. Like if I'm going to play a 40 yard shot, I'll keep my feet like really close together. Just because that kind of governs your swing. Like you're not going to take a full swing with your feet together. You'll like lose balance. So like the further the shot, I'll get my feet wider. I'll choke up on the club. And I'll just kind of play that same stock shot with 60 degree, knock it down. So I just try to keep everything as predictable as possible. I tried the clock stuff and it's just like a lot to think about for me. Like if I'm playing with like buddies and like we're not caring and I'm just not really thinking at all. I think I'm a lot better just kind of reacting to the target instead of worrying about like an 8 o'clock wedge shot.
Yeah.
That just kind of works for me. But yeah, just regulating distance with stance width and choking down and then trying to flight the ball.
So you're using a 60 most of the time. I kind of want to go through what's in the bag of called a +3, +4 handicap. Are you an equipment junkie that changes a lot like me, or have you stayed pretty consistent with what's in the bag?
I've had probably 7 putters in the last 4 months or so.
What do you cycle through? Because I've gone through the same thing. I finally think I settled on something.
I had a couple of Ping Tines. I had a Scotty Cameron Phantom and Spider, one of the AI Rossies, Lab, and an Arm Lock. I've literally had everything.
What do you settle on? Or are you still not? You're still not.
Right now, I have one of the Spider Tours.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to have found. It's just easy to use. I used it for a little while too. I, for whatever reason, I'm back in like a slant neck, or no, it's more of a, I guess it's a plumber's neck, Scotty Cameron. It's like a counterbalance. It's 38 inches long. Yeah. So it's kind of like a counterbalance putter with a super heavy head, which I found is kind of, it kind of feels like a Lab, but the head isn't as like large to look at. So it's got kind of a nice, you know, nice looking and feel to it, which is what I'm on right now. What about the rest of the bag? I see the Ping hat. Are you a Ping guy like me?
I've always been a Ping guy. I've had the i3s, i15s. Like, I've had every Ping model. Ever since I've started playing, really, I have. I actually just went to their kind of Proving Grounds headquarters. Did a full fitting there. I think that like really helped me. But I went G440 driver, 4-wood, 7-wood, which is a new combo. I've always had 3-wood driving iron or 3-wood hybrid, but the 7-wood is just
7-wood's so good. I've got the 440 7-wood in my bag right now, man. The thing's it's a weapon.
You can hit it like out of the rough. You can hit it off the deck super easy. I hit it like a 7-iron. Like I click a divot, it just goes straight up in the air. And then I got the Blueprint S's irons, which are the ones that are like a little bit more forgiving than they're like full blade. I've always played full blades, but like I don't need blades.
Yeah.
It just makes them a little bit more difficult. And then Ping Wedges, the S159s.
Kind of pretty similar setup to me. I'm kind of going between irons and wedges as we speak. But when I went down to the Proving Grounds, that's essentially what I got put into as well. I did switch out 4-wood and I put in mini driver because I don't use 4-wood off the deck very often. I know it's just like a second tee club, and the mini driver's got a, you know, bigger head, bigger face, a little more forgiving, spins more. And it carries like 270 on a dot every single time.
Is that like 12 degrees or is that?
The one I have's 13.5 degrees. And then I've got the I played the 430 10K. It's a 9 degree turned down to 7.5. And I just hit a 295 yard cut with it. And then I've got kind of the mini driver to 270 yard draw set up. So I can kind of work a little both ways off the tee and got good numbers on each.
Now I'm going to be thinking about that. Now I need one of those.
So I had, I don't know if you follow Nick Neal. His name is Golf Strong Hit Bombs on Instagram. He puts out a lot of content. He's out of San Diego. I think I convinced him to go with mini driver. And the reason being is, you know, depending on what tees you play and how far you hit it off the tee, you're not hitting like deck 3-woods and 4-woods very often. Like it's normally a second tee club, right? Like how often do you hit a 4-wood into a green? How often do you have 260, 270 out? And usually when you do, it's really hard to stop anyways. So it was just a second tee club for me. So the mini driver made sense. Like you tee it up like low. It's more forgiving than a call it a 4-wood. It's easier to hit. It's got a bigger head. And they're a lot more adjustable too than like 4-woods are. So maybe give it a try. I'm trying to convince everybody to go team mini driver.
Next time I miss it, the 4-wood, it's going to be in my head now.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Whenever I like go into the slump or like my buddy gets a new club, I'm like, ooh, should I get that? Or yeah. I always think it would move my head. And
I'm the same way. I'm notorious for changing clubs. This year I'm going to try it. So last year I made a bet with my co-host Andy that I wouldn't change my irons for, I don't know, it was like 4 months. And I did do that. This year I'm going to try and do the same thing with top of the bag, irons and wedges. So I've only got like another month until our season starts. So I'm really trying to dial it in right now indoors, which I guess brings me to my next topic. So like you're out practicing a ton. I see a lot of your content in terms of like drills and stuff. You know, when you are teaching people or you're giving lessons or whatever it is, you know, what are some of the most common, I guess, obviously we see a lot of early extension with amateur golfers, but what are some of the best drills or things that you really work into your routine? Whether it's pre-round or just when you're out practicing?
Like for me that I do?
Yeah. Or stuff that you tell people to do, either one.
I can just start with kind of me personally. If I'm going out and practicing, I don't really hit like a lot of irons just because when I'm playing, it's more like woods and then like short irons or kind of wedges. So I'm doing a lot of, I'm starting with wedges. Just slow and easy. Like I'm trying to feel kind of a club head in my hands. And like, I feel like I'm at like a kind of rely on feel. So it's good to just kind of feel like club head swing. It's good to kind of get everything in sync with kind of good sequencing and tempo. And that's kind of where my swing goes out of sync, like off track, is when I get kind of out of sync and just not with good sequencing or whatever. But so yeah, I'm hitting a lot of pitch shots, just kind of work on contact, distance, different flights. And then just recently I've been kind of going through some swing changes. So whenever I'm trying to make a change, I'm mostly just using like a short iron, like probably an 8, just kind of middle of the bag. I think it's easy to kind of apply changes when hitting irons like that. And yeah, I mean, I'm not doing like the same drills every time. It's more just like what my on-course tendencies are. So, like, recently I'm kind of struggling with getting too steep, kind of like a in-to-out, really significant kind of push. So, basically, I'm just kind of setting the club too late, and it's just creating too much lag, and I'm missing with, like, a big block. So, like, to make changes, you kind of have to, like, really exaggerate the opposite feeling. So, now I'm feeling like I'm really trying to pull the ball, just to, like, straighten it out. So I'm mostly just looking at my on-course tendencies and trying to find feels that kind of work for me and kind of how to fix what's going wrong on the golf course.
Yeah, I talked with, what was his name? It's like 2 weeks, Justin Klumbala. He's actually down in Arizona as well. But I was trying to pick his brain on chipping and putting practice and kind of different drills to do. So I'm of the opinion that, you know, when I go to the course next year, I'm going to spend a lot more time chipping and putting before a round or even practicing than I have in the past. And I think the problem that myself and probably a lot of other amateur golfers or club golfers, whatever, run into is that, you know, the standard way to practice chipping is like, you know, you go to the range, put down 20 balls and you just start like hitting chips, right? Like you're not really... like maybe you're focusing on contact or you're just trying to like find a good shot. But I don't ever feel like I'm actually practicing chipping, right? Like then you get on the course and you can hit, like you can clip it all right, but maybe you give yourself 15, 16 feet. You're not actually like proximity of the hole isn't actually good.
Right.
When you're practicing chipping, are there any specific like games you play with yourself or drills that you do? Or are you just working on contact?
I'm not really doing any kind of drills. Like I said before, like I think the biggest thing that helped me was just having stock shot every time. Keep it simple, keep it consistent. And I literally play that like 90% of the time. It's mostly kind of just like a heel slightly off the ground, kind of handle a little bit up with a 60, kind of middle of the stance, punch, comes out with like a ton of spin, gets the ball on the ground early. And I just think it's very helpful to get it on the ground early, get something that's predictable, and then you can kind of play off of that stock shot. If you need height or extra distance, you can just kind of open the face a little bit, add a little bit more kind of wrist hinge at the top or whatever. But mostly just working on contact. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, you're not going to get the same lies out on the golf course, and just trying to work on good contact. Just knowing how the ball is going to spin once you can repeatedly hit the ball in the middle of the face. Like, I had the yips for a while, and I was hitting everything off the toe, and like, nothing was spinning consistently. So now I'm just working on that consistent contact. And kind of once you do that, I would just try to add some pressure games and play with your friends. Like, I played an up and down game with my buddy last night. Just kind of makes you think about it a little more instead of just brainlessly like chipping balls around.
Yeah, which is what I do. I just brainlessly chip balls around. I don't actually try anything. Like, maybe I'll try and hit a high one or a low one, but I'm not actually trying to get the ball up and down into a hole. Like, I'm on a chipping green. So it's something I've self-identified as what I need to work on next year, especially like now where indoors feels impossible. Like, every chip is good indoors off of like a, you know, a bat, right? Like, they're all good. I feel like I'm amazing. And then I get out, you know, on like some Bermuda grass or something, and my club just digs and can't hit a chip shot to save my life. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, like, I used to be that guy who would just pull putter like wherever he was off the green, but like, that doesn't help your game at all, really. So I've started to just try to use my wedge whenever I can, like whenever I'm off the green where I would have usually put, just pull the wedge out, so it'll help build the confidence. Like, use that stock shot where you can just kind of punch it onto the green, like the one shot you've been practicing over and over again, and then just get the easy ones up and down. Like, if you can get those, just barely miss the green on the fringe, if you get those up and down 90% of the time, it's just going to take the pressure off like the hard ones. And then, like, you don't really need to get the hard ones up and down as often if you're getting all the easy ones up and down.
Yeah. Do you follow any of this? Do you follow Joe Mayo or any of his stuff?
No.
He's the guy that's, it's kind of like the steep or shallow debate when it comes to chipping. You know, Joe Mayo's like the handle high, shaft forward kind of hinge. And you have like Parker McLaughlin, who's a little bit more like on the team shallow, kind of like wide and low. If you don't follow Joe Mayo, I guess it's hard to ask about, but it sounds like you're a little bit more of the, when it comes to chipping, getting the handle high, kind of getting the heel off the ground, taking that out, stand a little bit closer to it, and probably get a little bit more steep, like ball first.
So getting closer to it, handle up, and more like middle of the stance, kind of hands forward, kind of locks the wrists, and you're just doing more of like a upper body rotation, kind of full turn. I have tried like using the balance more and like kind of releasing like the short game chef does. It's just, I don't know, it just wasn't really for me. Like, I think the biggest thing like is there's no right way to do it. It's just find a method that works for you and you can be consistent with.
Yeah. Parker came on, Short Game Chef came on a couple weeks ago, and we talked about it all, like wedges and balls and kind of the theory behind, like, you know, the way that he teaches short game. And like, I think that's the one thing everybody agrees on, which is there is no like one way to do it. You kind of have to have shots for everything. And especially when you get on different types of grass, and you know, you start talking about like different bounces that the pros use depending on where they're playing and the type of shots that the courses ask for. I think that's one thing that probably amateurs neglect a little bit, is like, we travel all around, play all these different courses. You're not, generally speaking, changing the bounces or the grinds on your wedges, right? And people want, like, you know, playing bent grass up here, and then they go down to Florida or Arizona, you're on completely different grass, and all of a sudden your wedges just completely dig into the ground. You're like, oh, what's going on? I can't chip. It's like, well, grass calls for a completely different type of like chipping motion, as well as like the type of club that you're using and the bounce that you have. And it makes people like me feel like they're shitty at chipping. You know, you get somewhere and you can't chip to save your life.
Yeah, I saw this video Jason Day was talking about it. He's like one of the all-time greats with like short game. And he's talking about just using your practice swings to feel how the turf is going to interact. So like, if you get like a hard bounce off the turf, like obviously the ball is going to come out hot, so you know take a little bit off of your shot. And then if you like, if it digs, like, you know, you have to kind of accelerate through it more. So I think that's super important, just to feel what your lie is going to do and kind of get a sense for how the club's going to react through the turf in your practice swings. But yeah, just finding something that works for you, I think is like the most important. Like, there's no one way to chip. I was usually just in my own head about it and trying to use the bounce and trying to do too much, like try to get it up in the air too much, try to get too much spin. Like, I don't miss hit like full swing shots that often, but like, I miss hit my chips all the time. So like, why is that happening? Like, now I'm trying to be kind of more aggressive and more shuffling and like more aspects of my full swing kind of in the short game.
Well, Parker made a great point. I don't know if it was on the podcast or when I saw him in person, but, you know, like, the reason for that, which totally makes sense to me, is you have so much more room for error on a full swing, right? Like, the club is moving so fast, your turf interaction can be slightly behind the ball, and like, it, you know, you look like a strong guy, you look like you hit it far enough, like, you know, your seven iron can be just behind the ball a little bit, and it's still going to get through the turf, then hit the ball, and vice versa. If you hit the ball first and then kind of drive into the ground, like, you're talking about a couple yards off, right? Like, here or there with a seven iron. When you're slowing it down with a chip and you're slightly behind the ball, now, like, you're chunking it or you're digging it. Like, you have no speed through the ball. And so your room for error on chipping is just not as great as it is with a full swing iron, or obviously you start to get to the top of the bag. So once he said that, it clicked for me. I was like, oh, well, that makes a ton of sense. Of course, if you're moving really slow and you barely hit behind the ball, like, you're going to feel that more. And it's going to impact your shot a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally true. But I think the best tip that I got was just play the stock shot, like, over and over again. So it's what I would tell everybody. Like, it doesn't matter what lie you have, like, where you are. Rarely you have to go, like, completely upstairs with a shot. Normally you can just kind of hit, like, get on the green as quickly as possible, and all you're really changing is just, like, your landing spot.
Yeah, I want to shift gears and talk a little bit about putting. So are you an aim point guy? Are you a feel when you come to reading greens? Like, you don't get to a plus three or plus four without being decent at putting. So I kind of want to pick your brain on how you read greens and your approach to putting in general.
Approach to putting, I don't aim point. I feel like I would like to learn it. Just playing like public courses, it's tough to know like what percentage each break is. Like, if I had like a home green where I could like set it to a certain degrees of slope, I would learn it. But no, I don't do aim point.
What do you do? So you're just total feel putter?
Yeah, like if I'm riding in a cart, like, I don't putt as well. But like, if I'm walking up and I can get a good look of the green, like, I definitely putt a little bit better. I just try to do like a full walk around the hole, and like, the biggest thing, like, if it's a shorter putt, I'm just trying to find like where that straight putt is, and then just adjusting based off of that. Like, if you're like left of the straight putt, it's gonna break to your right. If you're on the other side of it, it's gonna break left. So it's definitely finding the straight putt for me is like the most kind of important thing. And then with long putts, I'm not really concerned about making it. I'm just trying to get the speed right. Picking my speed first and then picking my line based off of that speed. Pretty much focusing just on like the last half, because when that putt slows down, it's going to break the most.
Yeah, you're catching me on a day where I literally just took an aim point class last night. It was like 2 hours. And like, I've always kind of known about it, right? Like, I see people do it, and I had actually learned kind of what the slopes feel like. So that was like probably the first, I don't know, half hour of it was literally just testing, like, can you figure out what a 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know, feels like, and kind of calibrating yourself to that. But then what I did notice, to your point, so talking about like, you know, the distances or like the speed of the greens where you're going to different places. Effectively, all that you do is you find like a 6 foot putt, and you find it, you know, on like a 1 or a 2, and you know, you do your 1 or 2, and you test a 6 foot putt where it's going to break, if you hit it and it broke like perfectly on your line, you could, like, from this far away from you, right? You got it. If like it's this far away and you hit it and you were too high, you have to adjust like where your break is, right? And then you find that and then you're good to go. So that was always my part too, is like, how am I going to figure this out when I go on like super fast greens? Like, how do I know where to put my finger? He's like, you just got to go on the practice green, find a 6-foot putt, and then you got to, you know, put up your tube, because the further away you are on a slower putt, right, compared to a faster, like when you put your eyes up, are going to be two different reads. And then you find the one that's correct, and then that's how you calibrate for the day or for the round.
Interesting.
Yeah, they've got it all figured out, man. It was actually, not going to lie, it was pretty wild. And I think if nothing else, you commit to something, right? Like, you're committing to a process, you're committing to a read, and you're committing to a putt a specific way every single time, as opposed to kind of how I approach putting now. I don't think I have one singular, you know, I don't do the same thing every single time, and it kind of changes day to day. And some days are good, some days are bad. At least with this, I feel like I have something that I can every single time go through a process, do it, and like I either make it or I don't.
Yeah, I think kind of related to that, like even if you don't do the aim point, I think just having that consistent routine is big. Like personally, I just try not to overthink it. Like if I was shooting a free throw, like it's going to be like 2 dribbles, a spin, and a shot. Like I'm not going to stand there for a while and like stiffen up. It's kind of the same thing with putting. I like just pick my speed, pick my line, and then like I don't even take a practice swing. I just kind of hit the ball. Like I don't give myself any time to tense up at all. Like I'll approach the ball, I'll be moving, I'll do a slight forward press, and just kind of react. And I feel like just kind of going based off of like athletics and kind of reaction is a good way to putt. If you're kind of struggling out there, like I see a lot of my like higher handicap friends will stand over it forever and stiffen up. Like you don't not going to make anything doing that. You just need to be fluid the entire time.
Yeah, yeah. As we wrap up, I kind of want to ask, so, you know, for the, like our audience tends to be, call it club golfers or, you know, obviously people trying to get better. What do you think can get a 10 handicap down to a 5? And what gets a 5 handicap down to a 0? If you could only choose one thing for each of those individuals to focus on. And I'll give you my example. Hopefully I don't steal your answer. I think if you want to get to a 5 to a 0, all it takes is really good course management. I think most people really neglect aiming at the right targets off the tee, aiming at the right targets on the green where pins are, having the good misses, kind of like you said. Like that's my hot take about how to get from a 5 to a 0. I feel like I could have done it a lot quicker back in the day when I was trying to get there, and I wish I would have done it sooner. So I'm genuinely curious on your take. Like obviously you play with guys of all different types of handicaps and you've done it yourself. So what do you think it is?
I think getting like 10 down to a 5, I think the biggest thing is just getting off the tee. Like, if you're putting your, if have a go-to shot, have something you can get in play regardless, and just figure out how to eliminate one side. Like if you can't go, if there's out of bounds left, like you can't go left. You need an anti-left swing. So like just being able to hit your driver and keep it in play is crucial. Like a lot of my friends, they'll be hitting like 6 irons all day off the tee just because they can't get their driver in play like they want. But just being able to get your driver in play will evaporate like more shots than anything probably at that stage.
Yeah, I wish I would have known that a long time ago. And hitting it, I'd say further, right? Like if you can actually hit the ball more than, I don't even know, 260 for a 10 handicap, you're going to be far and away better than a lot of the other 10 handicaps out there. If you get up into the 280s, you're going to be sitting really pretty.
Yeah, just having like that go-to, like it doesn't really matter what it is, like mini driver, 4-wood, driving iron.
Look at that, you're already team mini driver. I've already got you converted.
I'm thinking about it. I don't know how to pull trigger after this and pick one up. But
you get here's what you do. You got to go an inch shorter than your driver, and then same shaft profile, but go like, so I play Aventus Black 7X in my driver, Aventus Black 8X in the mini driver, 1 inch shorter.
Okay. Interesting.
So go a little bit heavier, same stiffness, 1 inch shorter, and then obviously higher lofted. I don't know what you're going to look at, but there's Callaway's, TaylorMade's out there. I'm in the Callaway 13.5 degree. That's what I rep along with my ping.
I'll give it a shot. I'm going to take the 4-wood out.
I can see you already thinking. I love it. You're just like me. You're like, yeah, I'm gonna go game a mini driver. I'm gonna bring
the. I'd change everything. Irons, I'll keep. I don't really care like too much about irons. Like that's the last thing I'll be picky about. But everything else is fair game for
it's
a change.
Fair game. I want to know what putter you end up settling on. I know you're on the Spider right now, but I get the sense that it's gonna be changing relatively soon.
I got a lab coming pretty soon.
Which one?
DF3s.
Okay. Yeah, the DF3's solid. It's kind of my second. I got a DF3 and then, like I said, the Scotty Cameron, but I keep the DF3 around because it's old reliable. I mean, it lines up really well. They're easy to hit. The only problem I just have is looking down at the head shape. Like, it's massive, yeah. Right? Like, it's big. You have to get over that. That's what I tell people, but they're great putters and great technology.
Or just personal preference, like, the right shape matters, and like being able to align your putter is like so, I guess, slept on. Like if I have a putter with like just a couple lines on it, like it's just not easy for me to take that line and like align with it. I need like the right shape in order for my eyes to work and align in the right spot. I like never really noticed that, but like I would have a Rossi with like those three lines on it. And I was always aligning like way right. And like I switched to this Spider with no lines on it, and just like the shape of it just makes it so much easier for me to align in the right spot. So there'll be something kind of checking out.
You guys have a second swing down there. They started up here in Minneapolis, and I go in there probably way too much. But, they do a putter fitting with you. One of the first things they'll do is they'll check your alignments, like, grab a couple different putters, they'll have you aim, and then they take to a little laser and they put it right at the face of your putter and see where you're aimed. And I tried like three or four different putters, and the Scotty and the DF3 that I had were both like, I was spot on every time I aimed it, both from 6 feet and 20 feet. And then like I would grab something else and it wouldn't even be close. And it's like, okay, well, immediately get rid of those, right? Like if you can't aim your putter correctly, I totally agree with you. I think people, when they go to get fit for putters, they need to check, are they aiming this thing right? Because they could have a good stroke. They could read it correctly. But if they're, 6 inches off to the right, you're not going to make shit.
Yeah, it's like, it's also a good thing to, I guess, practice too. I have a putter mat. I have like a putting mat with a line on it. And a lot of times I'll align it like square to that line. And just based off how I'm set up, it just looks like it's pointed way off, even though I know it's lined up because there's a line on the mat. So that is like a good way to, I guess, like build your stance and posture, is just to get in a position to where it looks lined up when you are lined up straight.
Yeah,
I mean, there's like, a lot of times,
yeah. Train, you got to train your eyes, and you got to like kind of recalibrate stuff a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That's where I get off, is with alignment most of the time. More so like with my irons and my driver. My buddy will stand behind me and is like, dude, you're aimed 30 yards to the right. Like you're not even close right now.
Yeah, it's like, that's why I always struggle with putting a line on the ball and like lining it up to kind of where I'm aiming, is because like if I stand over it and I know the line on the ball is pointed in the right spot, like to me and like where my line is and my eyes are, it just looks like it's way off. So then I know like my stance and like my, something's off. It's not me lining the ball up towards the hole, it's like my stance and setup.
Yeah.
So like,
this gets in your head, starts to compound on everything else of the game. Before you know it, you stop keeping score after 7 holes and shoot 83. One of those days.
Yeah. We just play 2 balls, work on the game a little. And
yeah, exactly. Make a practice round. That's what you can do.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. I apologize it took so long for us to get this scheduled. How long are you down in Arizona for till you head back to Boston?
I'm not sure.
I'm heading back to sit, like you're there for now until you're not.
Yeah, I've been here for the last probably 4 or 5 years. I spent the last year back in Boston and then came back here again in October. So I might go back to Boston kind of in the summer, just for golf season, to maybe just do more kind of in-person coaching and whatnot, but try to be back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be down there 2 weeks. So I'll shoot you a message. And if not, I'm back down there in October for my wedding and probably once more in the summer. So, maybe we don't want to play in the summer. You'd have to come up here, but, see if we can get out and play at least one. I'm sure we could get some money games going or something like that with some of the boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Would love to. Let me know when you're down here. We'll get out. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, man. I'll shoot you a message. Let me know. I need to know what putter you end up in, and I need to know what mini driver you get here. Cause I can already see the wheels turning and can see that you're going to go and grab one by tomorrow.
I can't do it.
Yeah, you could try it. Just go to Second Swing and just hit one. Go grab a burner off the rack or something.
I do have a good return policy. You can check it out.
Yeah, 30 days. Yeah, you can figure it out, man.
Return it, use that credit to get a putter, and that'll be awesome.
There you go. You'll be good to go. I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate your time. I'll shoot you shortly, and I'm sure we'll see you on the socials, man. Keep doing what you're doing. I love the content.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, brother. Take it easy.
Take it easy.